We're continuing in our Names of God study, and to review just quickly, we started by making the claim that every name of God is different attributes of God, as he revealed himself to man. And the first one we saw was Elohim, and God created the heaven and the earth. So Elohim is our creator. He's the power of God in the universe. The power to create, the power to make a covenant, the power to keep a covenant. And then we went into a study next week on the power of God. We talked about that, to develop it. Then we went into the name Jehovah, or Yahweh, or Jehovah, different ways of saying it. We talked about Jehovah being the I Am. He told Moses, and we're going to see it again tonight, I am that I am. I always was, I am, and I always will be. I am the self-existent one. I am the eternal one. I always existed. I have no beginning, and I have no end. We talked about his very nature being holiness and righteousness. And whenever you see Jehovah used, it's with holiness and righteousness. It was Jehovah that kicked Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden. And that's the first place we see that name used. And we talked about it being him being a God of judgment, because it's implied if you're righteous, then you must judge wickedness. But fortunately for us, he has the aspect of love. And so he loves us enough to make a way that we would not be judged. And that way was through Jesus. Now, every name of God is also the name of Jesus and the attributes of Jesus in the New Testament. We try to bring that in every week. But this week we're going to stick with the Jesus as the I Am and develop that through the New Testament. And you're going to remember that the reason we got the name Jehovah was that there was a Y, a V, and an H, and no vowels, and it would be Yahweh, they say, or Jehovah is what King James anglicized it to be. So there's no J in Hebrew, though. And so, you know, Yahweh is a better way to really pronounce it. Jesus is a Greek word, and it really is the word for Yeshua, or Yahweh Shua, or Jehovah Shua, or God the Savior. And really, Jesus translates as Jehovah. And so that's a very interesting study, and I want you to meditate on it. You see at the top of your sheets that YHWH, and it is Yahweh. If you put in vowels and you can guess whether it was A-E-I or U, A-E-I-O or U, and this is what the scholars came up with, and then it was made into Jehovah in the King James or all the English-speaking Bibles. We talked about Jehovah being coming from the Hebrew verb hava, which is to be. And he was, he is, or am, you know, he is, I am, and will be. And also, to be is conjugated, the becoming one. We talked about Jehovah becoming everything you need. If you have a need, God becomes that need. And also, he will be coming. He is the coming one. All of the conjugations of to be. It's the being of God, the essence of God. And in Latin, I wrote there, esse is to be in Latin. And that's where we get the word essence from. The one who always exists, the eternal, unchangeable, the one without beginning and without end. Now we're going to look at him in the Old Testament a few places and then move into the New to see how Jesus becomes Jehovah. Remember that the Hebrews would not pronounce the name, and it was unpronounced. They took the vowels out, and eventually through time, the pronunciation was lost, and people didn't know how to pronounce it. there is a legend in Orthodox Judaism that when the Messiah returns, he will pronounce his name. And that will be one way in which they will know who he really is. And there's some clues about that in Revelation, some interesting things about that. When he comes back at his second coming with his name on his thigh, which only he knows. Is that because only he can pronounce it, or is it because he's going to reveal another name to us at that time when he meets mankind in that attribute or that role? We don't know, but it's something to think about. And the Jews today substitute the word Adonai every time they talk to him, pray to the Lord God. And next week, well, I don't know if it's next week, but we'll get to Adonai. There are three major names for God: Elohim, Jehovah, and Adonai. And then combinations of them, many combinations of them. So it shows the holiness of God that the Jews won't even pronounce that holy name. And every time the scribes would write the name, they would throw the pen away. Just use a new pen just for that. Showing the awesome respect of God. So let us look at Exodus 3, which is the first time that the name is really revealed in its fullness to Moses. So I want to review that. Exodus 3, verse 14. We'll go to 13. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said, Elohim said unto Moses, Jehovah, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shall you say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Jehovah. That's where we get the name, and it's the name that God gives to himself. Now look at Psalm 90, verse 2. I think I'll use my faster Bible. Sometimes that's so big, it's unwieldy. Psalm 90, verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art Elohim. But what we see, even though the name Elohim is used here, is that this is the everlasting nature of God. It's the all-existent one. And he always was, and he always will be. Our minds cannot comprehend this. Don't try. You'll get a headache. You know, it's like trying to just think on what infinity is. And our minds can't hold that, so we take it in faith as the word says that it is, because one day we will have more comprehension of that. Isaiah 43, this is just to get us in the framework of who Jehovah is as revealed in the Old Testament. The reason it was Elohim in that verse was because it concerned creation. But I picked it because it showed his everlasting existence. Isaiah 43:3. For I am the Lord thy God. And we looked at the clues that the English Bibles have. When Lord is written all in capitals, that's Jehovah. And when it's God with written with just the capital G, so if it's Lord all capitals or God all capitals, it's Jehovah. And if it's God written this way, it's Elohim. And if it's Lord written that way, it'll be Adonai. So it's a clue built into the Bible. For I am the Jehovah thy Elohim, the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel. There's the holiness. Thy Savior. Now, that's why I picked these verses, to show you that in the Old Testament, it is talking about Jehovah being the Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, and Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Verse 10, you are my witnesses, saith Jehovah, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am. Notice the am is in italics. It means they added it, but it really is there, because it's the verb. I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am Jehovah, and beside me there is no Savior. We looked at that last week. Besides Jehovah, there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved the Savior. I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore you are my witnesses, saith Jehovah, that I am Elohim. Yea, before the day was, I am he. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall stop it? Isn't that comforting? But I want to point out that there is no Savior. You know, sometimes when you're witnessing to the Jews, you don't know what to do with the Old Testament and how to show them that there is clue that Jehovah's the Savior. And then we move into the New Testament to see how that works out. Isaiah 44:6, thus saith Jehovah, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, Jehovah. Redeemer. We have Savior, we have Redeemer. I am the first, I am the last, the I am, and he always existed. And besides me, there is no God. 45:21. Tell ye, and bring them near. 45:21. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from ancient time? Who has told it from that time? Have not I, Jehovah? There is no Elohim beside me, a just Elohim and a Savior. There is none beside me. 49:26. And I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood as with sweet wine. And all flesh shall know that I, Jehovah, am, I am, thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. And so I wanted to give you, Savior means deliverer or preserver. And what ways can we be delivered? We're delivered of from danger. That would be in the physical level. He can deliver us from danger and fear. That's nice to know. And we have the spiritual and eternal deliverance that comes immediately when you accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior and come in repentance and give him your heart. You are delivered from darkness into light, from hell into heaven, from life and from death into life. And God has the power to deliver us from sin. It also implies the future deliverance at the rapture when Christ appears for us to take us to be with him, and deliverance from the wrath of God at the end of the age or upon death, for you go to be with him and not to hell. And that really, remember in your armor, you put on the helmet of salvation. God is our Savior. He is the one who delivers us. Those words are interchangeable in all these aspects, from the physical conditions that we're in, from fears that we're in, from in the spiritual sense, and also from hell. And when we put on this helmet of salvation every day, we say, Lord, I know that you have delivered me. You are delivering me. and you will deliver me, since he is every conjugation of be. You will always be being my deliverer. And that's part of that helmet of salvation. So we learned that God is the only Savior. Now let's see what happens in the New Testament. Matthew 1:21, first book of the New Testament. The angel is talking to Mary, or is he talking to Joseph here? No, the angel's talking to Joseph here in a dream and telling Joseph not to worry to take Mary as the wife. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus is Jehovah Shua. If we had the Hebrew or if we had the Greek, it says Jesus. And there's the clue in the verse for the translation. He shall save his people. Call his name Jesus, the Savior. Well, since we learned that Jehovah was, there was no Savior besides God, then Jesus is God. Remember those logic classes? You say if A is B and B is, you know, C, then A is C. Jesus is God, and the name Jesus is Jehovah. Remember this for Jehovah Witnesses and for other people that say that every cult says Jesus isn't God. And so we're building this case for Jesus being God. Matthew 16:15. Actually, if we start up at 13, Jesus came to his disciples. He came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias or Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But who say ye that I am?" Now, you're going to notice how many times Jesus uses the I am. And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Jesus is clearly saying he is the Messiah, he is the Savior, he is the promised one of Israel. But looking at verse 13, 15, I want you to catch on to how many times the Lord puts this clue in his questions. And he says, "Who do you say that I am?" So look for the I ams. Okay, Mark 14. Verse 61. Jesus is being questioned by the Sanhedrin in this trial in the middle of the night, this lynching, so to speak. And in verse 61, "But Jesus held his peace and answered nothing. And again the high priest asked him and said unto him, Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. And you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in clouds of heaven." And then the high priest rent his clothes and says, "What need we of any further witnesses?" So they know exactly what he's saying. He is saying that he is God. And they tear their clothes and say, "This is guilty, guilty, guilty. The man's saying he's God. Let's kill him." But you notice that he answers, "I am." Okay? Okay, I don't know when it started. It's just always been. So I would have to do a study as to when it started. But Jews tear their clothes as a sign of mourning, intense mourning and grief. We saw that Mordecai did it. Remember in the story of Esther when he found out that the Jews were going to be slaughtered. And it's a sign of repentance, it can be, but of intense sadness and mourning. It just, garments were very expensive, you understand. People didn't have a lot of clothes like we today. Maybe one, maybe two. They were expensive. They had to be sewn by hand. You know, if you rent the garment, it was a serious thing. You couldn't just rent out and buy another one at the thrift store. And so it's just this, it's grief, unbearable grief that this head of the Sanhedrin is expressing. But I should study it as to when it actually happened. But it is in the Word of God all the way through.
They don't do
that anymore. The Orthodox do. Mm-hmm. Okay, Luke chapter 2, verse 11. This is the Christmas chapter. We're going to probably read it around the time. This is when the angel appears to the shepherds and... Verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Well, we just saw in Isaiah, there is no Savior, but I, saith Jehovah, there is no other Savior. Now we see we are born a Savior, Christ the Lord. See what I'm trying to show you? That all the attributes of God that we see in the Hebrew names come into fulfillment in Jesus, and that's what's being shown to us in the New Testament. And to show you that Jesus is God. And once in a while I try to show you the Holy Spirit and how he is in this also. But we're concentrating tonight on this. Luke 22, verse 67. Art thou the Christ? Tell us. These are the priests and scribes coming at him. And he said unto them, if I tell you, you will not believe. And if I also ask you, you will not answer me, nor let me go. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God. Well, when to make a statement like that, he's saying he's God. Right, he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, where he is now, by the way. And then said they all, art thou then the Son of God? And he said unto them, ye say that I am. See how he is always doing that? That's how he's actually answering them, by saying that he is the Father. And he represents and is the true witness of the Father. And they said, what need we of further witness? For we ourselves have heard this of his own mouth. And then they lead him to Pilate to accuse him of blasphemy. Let's move into the book of John. And I made a note at the bottom of your page that the theme of the whole book of John is the Godhead of Jesus Christ, or we would say the deity of Jesus. And it shows Jesus in his godliness as equal with the Father, and that's what the whole book of John is about. So if you are dealing with trying to explain the gospel to cults, it's good to stay in the book of John and use a lot of the passages from there, because that was the purpose of John, to show that Jesus is God. And so in chapter 4, verse 25, the woman, this is the woman in at the well, the woman said to him, I know that Messiah comes, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak to thee, unto thee, am he. I am. The he is in italics, so it wasn't really there. So he's telling the woman at the well that he is that Messiah. He is the I am. You see that? And in verse 42, many more believed because of his own word. And he said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Okay, John 6:35. Jesus says unto them, I am the bread of life. So, there are many scriptures where Jesus says, I am this, I am that. And remember I told you that Jehovah is the becoming one, and he becomes whatever you need. He is our refuge. He is our strength. He is our hope. He is our peace. He is our redeemer. He is our deliverer. He is our healer. And on and on and on. Whatever you need. And so Jesus is saying, I am the bread of life. There are several I am things that Jesus tells the people. I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst. What a promise. And so Jesus is becoming everything to feed your thirsty spirit. Everything you hunger after, everything you were looking for. You thought it would be in money. You thought maybe a job or a husband or a child or a friend or drinking or drugs or whatever. No, the only thing that feeds that dissatisfaction and that hunger inside is the bread of life. And he becomes your satisfaction. So I am the bread of life, he says. And then as you move on down to verse 48, he kept developing it through this whole chapter. I am that bread of life. Your father did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. That manna that was given in the wilderness was bread from heaven. But those people died, and he says, this bread, the manna is, however, a type of Jesus. As we know, the whole Old Testament is types and shadows, and everything is Jesus. It's just amazing. And so the bread that comes from heaven is a type and shadow of the Jesus who is the bread from heaven. This is the bread which comes down, verse 50, which comes down from heaven that a man may eat thereof and not die. He's speaking of himself. And when we eat of him, when he becomes our salvation, we have eternal life. Our body dies, but that's all. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. John 7. Verse 28. They're questioning him. They say that he has devils in him and that he's not God. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, you both know me, and you know whence I am. I am. And I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom you know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. You see all of the clues if you're aware of the I am. That he is saying he and the Father are one. Then what? They sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him because his hour was not yet come. Every time he speaks this I am, do you notice they go to kill him? And if you're not on to what's happening, the Jews knew very well that he was saying he was God. And they rise up to stone him or kill him every time. And we can miss that if we're not aware of that clue. Okay. John 8, verse 12. Jesus Jesus spoke unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. And so here he is another. He becomes your light. He takes you out of darkness into the light. He takes you out of hell. He takes you out of blindness and deafness and dumbness into wisdom and truth. I am the light of the world, he says. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Verse 23, and he says unto them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. And I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am, notice the he's not there really, you shall die in your sins. If you don't believe that Jesus is Jehovah, you are condemned to death. If you do not believe that I am, you shall die in your sins. Okay, 28. Then Jesus said unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you shall know that I am. Again, the he is not there. That I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. Okay, verse 56. Very mysterious scripture. We've come to it several times the past year, and every time I read it, I get more light on this very strange passage. But Jesus is speaking, and he says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. What a strange thing to tell the people standing there. And then the Jews said unto him, you're not yet 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Do you see how many things can start opening up to you? And he's saying that he always was. He is the everlasting one. And he was alive back then. And, you know, this is impossible for the carnal mind to grasp. And we think back, why did Abraham see his day and rejoice? And, you know, I always get more and more light on that. But remember when he took Isaac up to the mount to sacrifice him, and the ram was stuck in the thicket by his horn, and they sacrificed it. Abraham said, God will provide himself a sacrifice. When Isaac said, where's the sacrifice? And he's tying him onto the altar. And he said, God will provide himself a sacrifice. And that's Jehovah Jireh, God the provider. We might study that. And that was insight. Abraham prophesied, and he saw that God himself would provide, would be his own sacrifice. That could be what it means. That's part of what it means. He had that insight because of his obedience. He took his own son, Isaac, and sacrificed him. And God, I'm sure because of that, I really feel in my spirit, revealed that God would sacrifice his son also. On that very same mountain, by the way, 2,000 years later. And I think that's part of what this means. Abraham saw my day and rejoiced. But there's probably more than that. So, Jesus is telling the people, I, before Abraham was, I am. I am the I am. Okay? John 10, verse 7. Another thing that Jesus is to us. Truly, truly, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Who are the sheep? Raise your hands. We are the sheep. He is the door of the sheep. And it's, I'll read it all first. And all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He is the door of salvation. He is the I Am. He is Jehovah Shua, Yahweh Shua, God the Savior. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He shall go in and out and find pasture. And you remember in the Old Testament when they put the blood on the doorposts of the house to let so the angel of death would pass over and not slay the Hebrew children. This was the last plague before they got out of Egypt. That blood was a type and shadow of the blood of Jesus, which when we take it upon our hearts, spiritually speaking, the angel of death passes over us and we enter into salvation. Deliverance from death, deliverance from Egypt, deliverance from darkness, deliverance from Satan. But also, the very door is Jesus, because he says, I am the door. Everything in the Old Testament, I mean it, is a type and shadow of Jesus, once you begin to see. And so he is the very door, not just the blood, not just all the other things. And so we must enter in. And also, it says that when we do, we can go in and out. In other words, we can move about this earth, and even though bad things still happen and we're in an evil world, we will find pasture and rest, good grazing with our good shepherd. And he will always be at the door protecting us and just taking care of us. We can come in and out and find pasture. Eventually, that will be ultimately fulfilled when we can go in and out of the New Jerusalem, where God and Christ are the light, and we need never fear, because that talks about a door, a whole planet from which we can go in and out. And so we can find rest, refuge. Jesus becomes our safe place. Run into the high tower when things are bad, and just let him be your good shepherd and your protector. I am the door. Verse 7, 9, 11. I am the good shepherd. Not only is he the door, he's the shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. And so our goal is to know our shepherd. Now, he knows us, and we want to know how he talks, how he thinks, how he feels. How do we know that? Through the Word of God. Saturate yourself with the Lord, and you will know his voice. You know, Abraham knew God's voice even when God said, sacrifice your son. And that didn't seem like something God would say. You know, sometimes we say, well, God wouldn't say anything that contradicts his word. Well, that's true. Apparently, then Abraham knew if God was a good, loving God and able to keep his promise of a whole seed through Isaac, then he had to resurrect him or do something. So he was able, because he knew his God, to know the voice. And we need to know it. Many false voices. The Wilkerson newsletter that came today is on false prophets. More and more false voices, and they're right in the church, and it's so mixed in. How are we going to know the true shepherd? He says the sheep know his voice. And so we need to know the word of God, and we need to know the false one. If you know the true, you'll know the false automatically, because it'll just go clang. Something's wrong. He is the shepherd. I am. Another I am. John 11, verse 25. When he's going to Lazarus' tomb, where Lazarus has been lying for now 3 days, Martha says, you know, why weren't you here, basically. But anyway, we'll start in verse 25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection. Okay, so Jesus becomes our life and our eternal life and our resurrection from the dead. And that resurrection begins when you're saved, because you are literally, the old nature, the old person is dead. That's what baptism symbolizes. that you've entered, the old life is dead and you're now born again with a new mind and new heart. And you live in a resurrected life. And that's how you face the accuser too. Yeah, that one's dead. And I live in the new life. Live like you live in a new life. Live like you live the resurrection and not that you're hanging on the cross or you're still in the grave. Jesus is your resurrection. So he says here, I am the resurrection and the life. Too many Christians look like they're dead. They haven't entered into the I am of that. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. That means we were spiritually dead before we came to Christ. Most of the world out there is living dead. They look like they're alive. They walk, talk, speak, and move, but they're dead, spiritually dead. And as your spiritual eyes are opened, and as you really get trained in the things of the Spirit, when you look at them, that is what you see. You see that death upon them. But any of them can enter into life also. And we're here to give the words of life. And they are the only words of life. So don't be quiet. I used to think, God revealed to me like a couple years ago, my parents always said, you know, eat everything on your plate because the starving Asians, all of you are too young. But anyway, the idea is that we, knowing the Lord, we sit at a table of feasting. Many Christians don't enter into the feast. They're just sitting at the table and they don't see the food, all of the good food that they can partake, all of the life and health that the Lord is, all the good pasture. And in Psalm 23, the Lord says, I will set you a table, prepare you a table in the presence of your enemies. We have a wedding supper almost now that we can feast upon. And so if we're just eating all the food, and forget the starving Asians out there, the ones who are dying and they don't have this food. How selfish of us. And so he gave me a new way of thinking about that, and that we have everything. We partake of all the good things, the mysteries of the universe, the answers of life, the secrets of God. And if we do not share, then we are like the rich man and Lazarus, really. And it's very, very awful. So I ask that the Lord show you all the good things that Jesus is for you, that you wouldn't just hoard them for yourself either. But he says, I am the resurrection. I am life. Okay? And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Believest thou this? He's still asking it. And if you are a believer and you don't yet believest thou this or any of these things that Jesus said he can be, he is for you, really is for you, then ask him to help you. Ask him that you might see him in all of the things he actually is, in his I ams, and all of the things, needs that he has fulfilled and will fulfill, that you wouldn't be cheated of these things that God died to give you. Okay, John 13. Verse 13. That's easy to remember. You call me Master and Lord. We're going to study Adonai, which is Lord, and see how Jesus is Lord also. You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. Okay, I am Lord, I am Master. Is he Lord and Master of your life? Do you know what Lord means? Boss. And we need to make him Lord in all the areas of our life if we want to have the path of blessing. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, Matthew 5, and all the things shall be added to you in life. I should quote it completely. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Oh, thank you. Matthew 6. Okay. So you can jot that there. And so if we seek the Lord first, we must make him Master and Lord. Remember, it says in Romans 10, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and that's what it has to mean, that you've surrendered, that you're off the throne, you're out of the driver's seat, and he's in. So he says, I am Lord. Now, whether you recognize him as that or not in your life is what you'll answer for, but he is Lord. Verse 19, now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, you may believe that I am. Jesus has told them all about his death, all about that he will raise in 3 days. He's probably told them in detail how it will happen, but you know they didn't listen. They're a lot like us. And they were totally shocked and fearful when it happened. And they disbelieved, and they didn't think that he was coming back, and they didn't know if he was God, and they went into confusion. But Jesus is here saying, I'm telling you everything before it comes, that you may know that I am. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receives me, and he that receives me receives him that sent me, the Father. You cannot get to the Father without going through Jesus. I also want to give you another aspect of verse 19. This is the only book, really, on the face of the earth that is filled with prophecy. By that I mean it's filled with things, details of what is to come. And there's other scriptures that tell us that God did that we might know that he was God and that God wrote this book. It's the very same principle as here. Jesus says, I'm telling you things before they happen so you'll know that I'm God when they happen. And so that's the way the Bible is. It has told things ahead, 100% accuracy, that you might know that it's God. It's undeniable. And so there's another I am. John 14:6. Jesus said unto him, I am. This is the most famous one, I think. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's a great verse. It's one that I just use. When you're witnessing to people, of course, this is the main lie of today and always was. There are many ways to God. There are many truths. It's individual. It doesn't matter. We all end up at the same place. Or, I don't need Jesus. I can go directly to the Father. I don't need Jesus. I just have Jehovah. And on and on and on. And you just use this verse. You don't have to argue because it's the Word of God that cuts. It's the Word of God that doesn't return void. It's the Word of God that stays. Your words mean nothing. They're forgotten in a minute. And so we want to have a goal that more and more of our words would be the words of God, because those are the words of power. It doesn't mean you have to go around quoting King James night and day, but you want the Word of God morning to night to come out of your mouth. It's not a fake, phony kind of religious thing. We want the power of God out of our life, and it's only the words of God that have any value and do any changing. And so, just say, you know, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way to the Father but through him, and leave it and pray. Because that will never go away. So there's a very important I am. He is the way, the only way. That's the stumbling block. John 13:13. Nope. Sorry. We're in 10, 11, and 20. Okay, 10. I just, by the by, believest not thou not that I am? These are more I ams, in the Father, and the Father in me. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. 20. And in that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Very mysterious things. The unity of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and the unity of us in them and them in us. So that whole chapter, but I just wanted to point out how many I ams the Lord's actually, Jesus is using to try to tell the disciple and the world who he is. And most don't hear. John 15, verse 1, I am the true vine. And my Father is the vine dresser, or the husbandman. Jesus is the vine. And in 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. How much can a branch do if it's cut off from the vine? It quickly withers and dies. And so we must, for to have life, we must attach to the vine. Jesus is the vine. Our work is to be part of that vine. And when we do, then we bear fruit. We don't work at the fruit. You can get sidetracked by the enemy on that one. John 18:3. This is another one that I just am stunned by every time I think about it. Jesus is in Gethsemane, and they're coming to arrest him, Judas leading the party. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, comes thither with lanterns and torches and weapons, as if, you know, Jesus was the most dangerous man on the earth, right? And this party was several hundred, if not 1,000. That I'm dim on, and I didn't look it up. But it was a mighty band, and they had weapons. And they're coming after Jesus, and he can see. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things, was he surprised? Was this a surprise attack? No. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? As if he didn't know, right? Be aware of the art of the question with our Lord. And it's good to ask him that you might pick up that trait, the art of the question. Sometimes we don't need to answer what the people are saying. We need to be like the Lord. We need to question them or answer, cut through their question to what they're really asking, which he often did, and answer their need. He says, whom seek ye? And they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus said unto them, I am. Oh, I just love it. And you notice that the italics, is, so that he isn't there. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And soon as they had said, as soon then as he had said unto them, I am, they went backward and fell to the ground. Why did they fall over backward? The power of the name of God. You know, people don't fall over backward when you say your name. And it's ridiculous. But at the name of God, they do. Because he is saying, I am Jehovah. And then he asked them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus answered, I have told you that I am. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way. That the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, of them which thou gavest me, I have lost none. Okay, let's go to Revelation 1, the last book. Starting at verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come. Who's that? Well, originally, though, Jehovah, right? Here it says, I have come from him which is and was and is to come. Those are to the to be, the Jehovah. Okay? And from the sevenfold spirit before his throne, that's the Holy Spirit. And from Jesus Christ. So we have all three represented, okay? But then you go to verse 8, and it's Jesus speaking, right? And he says, I am the Alpha and Omega. What's Alpha and Omega? So, the beginning. the alphabet in Greek, the first letter and the last letter. So he's saying, Greek, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, which is to come, the Almighty. But who's speaking there? Jesus. So there you see the real dovetailing of Jesus being Jehovah. In all the attributes the Father has, so does the Son, so does the Spirit. They're one. Read those John scriptures again. And so in verse 4, it's the Father. In verse 8, it switches to Jesus saying exactly the same thing. And the Almighty is the word we had for the first name of God, Elohim. Okay, verse 11. I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, and Ephesus, Smyrna, and so on and so on. 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Now, this is my own observation, and I'm still praying about it. It seems to me when believers see God, they fall forward and as if dead. When unbelievers see the Lord, they fall backward as if dead. But we can think about that. I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying to me, fear not, I am the first and the last. Fear not, it's just Jehovah. You know, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death, the power over hell and death. Powerful. Okay, Revelation 21, verse 6. This is near the end of the book. We know the end of the story. And this is when the New Jerusalem comes down out of heaven, the place where we're going to live. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. So he is the water of life. And the water of life is also the Holy Spirit. Revelation 22, verse 13. I am Alpha and Omega. You know, God doesn't repeat himself that often in Scripture, but we certainly see this repetition. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And 16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, and I am the bright and morning star. Praise the Lord. Jesus is Jehovah. So we're Jehovah Witnesses also, aren't we? Let's pray. Oh, Lord, thank you for this study in your names, and I pray that you will strengthen the things we've said, that you will make them a part of us, that indeed we will know our God in all of his attributes and all of the things he is for us and has died to be for us and all of the things he will be coming to us. And thank you for becoming everything we need. Thank you for becoming our Savior, for saving us from sin, from self, from Satan, from death, from hell. Thank you, Lord Jesus, Jehovah Shua, Yahshua, Yeshua. And Lord, I pray that every word will sink deep in our hearts and just be a source of comfort, of peace, and of power in this dark world. We need you, God, and we need you to be all the things that you want to be to us. Open our hearts where we've been blocked, anywhere where you were not the door, where we had closed the door to you, and we did not come unto you. Father, I pray that we repent and that we experience you in your fullness in our lives, that we experience the resurrection the life, the peace, the comfort, the joy, the salvation, the deliverance, even in the midst of trials, that you are our emotional stability, that you are our wisdom, that you are our clear thinking, that you are ultimately going to present us with a golden crown and the robes of righteousness, a life eternal, ruling and reigning with you on earth, and then living in the New Jerusalem, and then who knows what, but a life of joy and peace, and you will forever be beside us. You are with us from the moment we invite you in, and you never leave our side throughout eternity. And you are the eternal one, the timeless one. Father, let us realize we are seated with you now in heavenly places. You have indeed become our redemption. You have bought us, paid for us, and one day you're going to cash us in. And Lord, I just pray, Father, that we would love you more and know you more, and that the scriptures would come to life because of these things that you are showing us about your names. Thank you. Thank you for saving us, for saving our souls. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.